You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And I'm Joe Iconis.
On this week's episode of the Album Podcast, we're going to be talking about a song called The Saddest Girl in the World, as sung by incredible Iconis and Family special guest, Carrie Butler.
Royalty, musical theater royalty. The song is an interesting one. It's one of my shorter songs, and it's it can be kind of classified as a comedy song. Comedy on the surface, or I guess it leads with comedy, and then there's some other stuff that follows. And it has an interesting origin. It was written for a 24-hour musical with Jonathan Mark Sherman many, many years ago. And Tepper and I talk about that and more on the episode. So tune in.
I learned a lot in this episode. Joe, how old were you when you wrote this song?
I was 10.
Yeah, exactly. Learn more about that on this episode.
This song is
The Saddest Girl in the World.
There should be an actual name for the musical theater thing where there's the first lyric of a song and it gets like a big reaction or a big laugh. And then you, like, there should be a literal name for that.
Maybe it's called Pulling an Iconis.
We should start it.
PAI.
We won't say it because we'll let people listen to this track along when they listen to this podcast. But yeah. This song is super early song.
This is a very early song. This song I wrote as part of the 24-hour musicals show at Joe's Pub. And this was in 2000 and I'm going to say five.
Mm-hmm.
Or certainly around them. And I wrote a musical with the great Jonathan Mark Sherman, who I love a lot. And
wonderful writer. And you also may have seen him playing Ira Weitzman in the Tick, Tick, Boom film.
Legend. Legends on legends. And so Jonathan and I, so the way 24-hour musicals works is you're paired with a whole bunch of people. It's writers, and you get a cast, and then you got to write this show for the cast. And the whole thing is written and rehearsed and performed in a 24-hour time period. Mm-hmm. And so in my cast was Carrie Butler and Nellie Mackay, who I'm obsessed with, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson was in it too, and Ashley Atkinson was in it. It was a great cast.
Wow.
Yeah. I loved them a lot. But this was a song that I wrote for Carrie, and she was playing the whole thing took place in a bar, and everyone in the bar was really depressed. And it was called The Saddest Bar in the World. That was the name of the play.
Mm.
And Carrie's character had one leg. She had lost her leg in an accident or something. And she was a dancer, and it was this whole thing. And she was very sad, and then everyone sort of found each other at the end, and it was very happy. And, you know, it's like the sort of thing that you can write in
How long are
an hour.
Those, like, when they
it's
are...
like 20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay.
So, yeah, I wrote three songs.
What are the other songs from it?
The last one was good. The Nelly one was really good. And then I wrote one that probably sucked, but I don't remember it. But the Nelly one was like a drinking song.
We're going to have to uncover these.
We should.
Yeah.
We should. But I remember, because this was so early on, and so I was like kind of nervous because there was a lot of fancy people involved, and I was like one of the less fancier, you know,
You
humans.
Were like 24 years old doing this. This is like a really high, like, I don't even know these songs other than this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call your brother about bootlegs to these.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I don't think anyone in my family came to it, bizarrely.
This is the Lost Iconis show.
Yeah, it really is.
The last
yeah.
20-minute Jonathan Mark Sherman Iconis
world.
Show.
Yeah. But I was really nervous, and then Carrie, when she sang the song, she forgot the lyrics halfway through, and I was watching from the bar at Joe's Pub, and she went, Joe, oh God. Like, she called for me, and I was so like, oh my God, am I supposed to like scream out to her? Like, what am I supposed to do? And then she just, like, she was amazing, and she went right on. But it was one of those things where, like, now if that happened, I would be like, you know, I'd be like, Carrie, the lyric is like, it wouldn't even cross my mind. But I remember at the time feeling like nervous to pipe up, you know? So at any rate, so that's where the song came from. And I've always, I've always liked the song. I love the first line of the song. But it's always kind of been this thing where like, I never want to make anyone feel bad with my writing if I can help it. I mean, sometimes I do, but, and so, you know, the fact that this character has, had, you know, lost a leg, is I think a part of this character. And I want to be able to write characters who have lost legs or, you know, arms or whatever. But I never want people to think that that's the reason why it's funny, because I don't think that's actually the reason why it's funny. You know, it's taking even that first line, you know, like the saddest thing about having one leg isn't the saddest thing about me. It is taking into account that this is this person's situation, and it is taking into account how this person is perceived by the outside world. But it's saying like, that's not even the thing. That's not even why I'm here. You know what I mean? And I do think that that's funny, but it treads like a really fine line. And so this song always like, it always is tricky for me. And I actually thought about not including it on the album, you know, for that very reason. But Carrie's performance of it is so genuine and so honest and so like both hilarious and just like kind, that's the thing that I feel like earns it a place.
Yeah.
That makes it clear that this isn't a joke song. You know, this isn't like, oh, ha, how funny that, you know, this person has one leg. It's something else.
Yeah. This is a song that I feel like, well, talk us through who else has performed it over the years other than Carrie.
It's been performed by Liz Lark Brown, the great Liz Lark Brown, and it's been performed by Lauren Marcus, the great Lauren Marcus.
I also remember seeing, in addition to both of them singing it, when John Simpkins, our frequent collaborator, was at NYU, he did a senior showcase that was like all your songs. You know, it was all the seniors doing your songs for showcase. And gosh, I wish whoever sang this did such a terrific job, and I shouldn't have brought it up because I can't remember who it was, but I do remember seeing it a couple of other times in the late 2000s that like it would pop up.
Yeah,
sheet music was out, or this was something that...
The sheet music, yeah.
Somehow people got their hands on it a little bit.
The sheet music is out. It's one of those songs also that people like to do of mine. I feel like every time I do a masterclass, somebody sings the song.
Yeah.
And I think that's for a few reasons. I think one of the reasons is that it's really short in a way that a lot of my songs aren't. And it's really easily cuttable.
And it's really surprising. I mean, yeah. I think it's part of that first line thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you can get a reaction if you're doing something like a showcase or an audition where you need a quick, like, oh my God, they're paying attention to me now.
Yeah,
it's like
a great
attention getter song.
It is, yeah. Yeah. And you know, the other thing too is that the idea of that character, you know, being differently abled, it's like I feel like so many times when we see characters like that in things, there has to be this like air of like nobility around them. Like, it's like anytime we see, you know, a character, whether it's a character or the performer, who are you know, differently abled in some way, it feels like it's so often like this thing of like they have to, you know, be like saviors or something or angels or something. And I just have always felt like, but like, they're like, why, you know, it's like, why? Like why can't they be funny? Why can't they have like their own shit? Why can't they, you know, like have jokes? Why can't we all just like look at each other as like the same? I don't know, which maybe is like, it's either like very Pollyanna or very insensitive, but that's what it is.
Yeah. And this song I love the title of because what am I trying to say? I feel like, I don't know, it's a surprising title maybe based on what the song is.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that it was sort of titled that partly because that's what the name of our like little, our little show was. And so it just sort of made sense, but it's also, it's like, I do think it's about like perception, you know, and I imagine the visual of, of this woman, especially sort of taken out of the context of that show, of her, you know, like sitting alone at a bar. And it's like, I do think that she like comes to this bar a lot. She's like, you know, ultimate sort of barfly. And it's sort of like, it's not something she's saying about herself. It's something that someone else is putting on her.
Right.
You know, it's something that someone else is you know, whispering from the other end of the bar. Like, you know, that's the saddest girl in the world.
Right.
Because, you know, she's not. She's not great, but she's doing okay.
Have we ever done this song in concert where whoever was singing it was placed in the audience and just swiveled on their bar stool and then had a spotlight hit them? Because that feels like we would have done it as you're describing this.
Yeah.
We've never done that. That should happen.
Yeah. I mean, songs about bars.
Yeah, but we do so many audience plans. This just feels like the ultimate, like, it makes sense. That would be so funny.
Stay tuned.
Totally.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Carrie Butler, man.
Carrie Butler is so, she's just magical, you know? I don't even know what else to say. That was really wild getting to work with her on the song. And then, you know, in subsequent years, she's just like as sort of, you know, luminous as you want her to be. And she has, you know, she has the Disney princess thing without being totally fucking annoying like so many people like that are. She's just not. She's a great actor. She's a great performer. She can do so many different types of things. And she, you know, like a few people on the album, she has this like youthfulness to her that is so compelling because she's not a child and she doesn't conduct herself like that, but she's able to play these characters in the same way that Annie Golden has it. You know, it's like, it's this, and Harrison Chad, like, it's like this thing where it's like these adult people who just have this undeniable youthfulness.
Yeah.
And I think it's so exciting when they play people with, you know, actual human adult problems and they're not playing like sort of cartoon versions of youngsters or, you know, whatever. But yeah, she's just so good.
She also, I think this is maybe sort of the Disney princess thing you're talking about, but she has this quality where she's so flawless vocally that you expect her performance and her acting to be, I don't know, less human than they are, but she manages to always feel like a real person while like being vocally just, you're like, no one's ever been worried about Carrie Butler hitting a note in their lives or like hitting a note perfectly. Like it's, she's just got some magical dust.
I think that's so perceptive. It's like, the way she sounds, it, that sort of sound, and it's so pristine, and it's just like, it's amazing, and it actually, it can do so many things. You know, it's like she's such a great like rock singer, and like she's amazing. But it, that sort of pristine sound is usually associated with a performer who's a little bit like perfect, and perfect in a way where it's like they're not going to make a choice that's huge. Right. They're not going to be too funny. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be, they're never going to be ugly. Like it's like, and Carrie is just not that. Like she's, you know, like a lunatic when she performs and she does all sorts of stuff. And, you know, she does comedy and drama and, and yeah, does it all. So yeah, I'm so beyond honored that I got to work with her. And yeah, I want to do like a show proper with her.
Yeah, it's talking about actors like her. I'm like, it gives me hope that like characters written for women who are like over the age of 40 will be interestingly, like written more interestingly on the talents of people like Carrie Butler. Cause it's like, I want to see her play, you know, I want to see her do a new musical and play all of the facets that she can play.
Yeah, maybe I need to write the Penny Pingleton sequel. Like, that's what it's about. That's
That'd be
what,
great.
That's what Hairspray 2 is.
Yeah. Penny goes off into the world. Like, what happens?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's like truly anything.
But. It's also just like Carrie Butler that, like, oh, she did originate this song of yours in the 24-hour musicals almost 20 years ago, and yet it's like no time has passed at all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. The Fountain Only, of Youth.
Better with age. Yeah. Well, let's, everyone mark your calendars. Broadway 2024. A Penny for Your Thoughts, starring Carrie Butler.
A Penny for Your Thoughts. What a good title. I was picturing Penny exclamation point, but yours is better.
It's also good.
No.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast. More ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast, and to listen to Album.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.